It's Helping Hand, weekly feature statewide, HPR1 stations, Friday is part of our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered, and then online at hawaiipublicradio.org. That's where we keep all of our Helping Hand segments and resources. Every week, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event offering assistance to the disabled and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we're learning about Hawaii International Child. It's their first time on Helping Hand. They're committed to helping orphan children find permanent families. Services include helping prospective parents and supporting those who are pregnant, considering the option of adoption. For more than 40 years, Hawaii International Child has served Hawaii as a local nonprofit, not affiliated with or funded by any national organization, according to their website. And I learned about them not that long ago when they were trying to stick up for a young man named Spencer, 4 years old. And since he was two, he lived in foster care, and they were trying to find someone for Spencer. Spencer had been through a lot in his life, and his parents would need to understand how his trauma might affect his behavior. When I heard about that, I really wanted to have them on the program. And the good news is that young Spencer has found a home, and we're going to hear about that with the executive director and CEO of Hawaii International Child, Christine Altweis. Am I pronouncing your last name?
That's
right?
Great. Good job.
Thank you for coming down here and doing this.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get into, I guess we'll get into what you guys do and then we'll hear the good news at the end of it. So I mentioned the mailing that made me aware of the organization. So take it from there. What do you guys do?
We started out as an inter-country adoption agency. So most of my work in the past 30 years has been in former Soviet countries, Southeast Asia, Asia, South America, finding families for orphans in those countries, Africa. But in the last 5-6 years, we've been focusing our attention and our efforts and our ohana sort of attitude towards the local population, with a growing awareness that because of the homeless population and because of the Marshallese immigrants coming in, there just seems to be an increasing need for families to take children who are getting stuck in the foster care system. We've always had a foster care system in Hawaii. We've always had children needing permanent families. But the need seems to be bigger than ever, specifically for children like Spencer and for the older kids. So that's really where a lot of our attention is going now, is trying to recruit prospective families and raise awareness to the fact that if you want to be a parent, you can try to become pregnant. You can go through a private domestic adoption and look for a healthy infant child, or you can consider some of the children who are in real serious need, the foster kids who are often stuck in perpetual cycles of one home after another after another, who really need our love and attention probably more than anyone else.
It's kind of like that with animals. A lot of people want to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to get a particular breed of dog that they want. And there are so many loving, kind, gentle, best friends just waiting there that don't cost a thing. So I completely understand. And that kind of incredible bond that you develop with someone is not going to necessarily be based on going through a specific agency or finding them from a certain country, just like it would be with man's best friend. So I completely understand. I think that's a good approach. What drove you to, just out of curiosity, why do you do something like this? What touched you or what made it so that you're so passionate about this?
I fell into the work. Actually, I was a volunteer at Public Radio, and I met the founder of our organization, and I lived abroad, and I just sort of felt connected to the work of helping people. My parents are good salt of the earth liberals and raised us to try and help out where we can. And over the years, I've just developed a real dependency on this work. It's given my life meaning, and I can't imagine not doing it. It's completely gratifying, even on its most challenging days.
Right on. The various adoption-related services that Hawaii International Child provides, so knowing you've got the ear of a bunch of folks who are driving around, talk about the things that you most want to get in their ear about these different services.
I think what's most important is that if you think you want to become a parent, pick up the phone and start today. Because a lot of people put it off, wait for things to become perfect in their lives, wait for job security or the right house or the right partner. And I think if you know you want to be a parent, that is a very compelling drive that you need to act on, because we've met far too many people who waited too long, and sometimes it doesn't work out if you wait too long. So if you think you want to be a parent, if you think you have love to give, pick up the phone and call somebody who can help you sooner than later. The second thing I would say is there are lots of children who need families, but in Hawaii, if you have the means and the energy, there are a lot of older kids who are about to age out of the system who, without some loving, strong parent in their life, could end up on the streets or could end up, you know, getting into serious trouble forever.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. That's really, okay, so aging out of the system, 18 is the age you age out of the system?
Technically, yeah.
So I'm just going to paint a picture here and you'll try to guide me through this. So someone could be there. So that right now in the Aloha state, there are people who are, let's say, 15 in foster care. And does that, you're going to educate me a little here. So when someone's in foster care, do they still have a relationship at all with their birth parents?
It depends.
So it's all different. Each situation totally
yes.
different.
And Hawaii is a great advocate for trying to retain kinship.
So what you're saying is, in some cases, what you're saying, and maybe a bunch of cases, somebody's going to hit 18. They're going to have been with a foster family, maybe not, or in some other kind of care situation where they haven't really, where they don't really have a family of some kind. And then they're going to be on their own, with the exception of whatever government services or nonprofits are out there to try to help them as an adult to sort of be the surrogate role of family.
Yes. And the difficulty with this is that it's a vicious cycle for children psychologically. If they don't feel wanted and loved by somebody, if they remain in a foster situation perpetually, mm-hmm. they will feel unworthy of someone's love. They will act unlovable. And so the simple solution is, you know, where kids are open to being placed permanently into families, get them a family. Give them a last name that they can say, this is my last name. This is my family. These are people who will be here for me forever. And, you know, very often that in itself can make such a difference in a kid's life. I do want to say that there are amazing foster families in Hawaii. And if you are a foster family to a child who's about to age out, more likely than not, you'll stay in that child's life. You're not required to, but, you know, there are some wonderful families out there who are doing great work.
And do, I have no doubt about that, and have met some, in fact. You guys are, when it comes to the kids that you're linking up with people who are interested in an adoption, and we're going to get into some of this overseas stuff in a second, but because we're talking about foster care, is there a percentage of them that are already here in Hawaii that you're trying to help versus the folks from, I see, China and the Philippines are two other areas where you're trying to link children in need of homes?
Yeah. So like I said, our real heart is for the local kids because we see the need. So families who think they can take on a kid who's got challenges should call. You know, these kids are not easy. These kids have been let down so many times that they have really big walls up. So it would take a firm, loving person to help some of these kids get through.
Why China and the Philippines? Why are those two areas specifically marked along with the U.S. at your website?
Like I said, I've worked all over the world, and a lot of the countries that I used to work in, I would not touch right now with a 10-foot pole just because of policy not being transparent and helpful to the prospective families. China has had, since 92 when I started working there, a really consistently fabulous program, dependable and transparent to some extent. I'm the mom of two kids from China, one who I adopted at age 11 and one at birth, or one-year-old. So I'm particularly passionate about China. The kids that we're bringing out of China for the past few years and hope to continue to help are all special needs kids, as we call them. So kids who have some sort of either medically correctable or not necessarily correctable medical challenges.
So are there important details relating to international adoption that you want to mention before we go on to some other areas while we're talking about that?
International adoption is different than domestic adoption. You have to go through immigration protocols, and you have to be patient, and you have to be willing to travel overseas. Sometimes the kids come with backgrounds that we might not be clear on. They may have undiagnosed situations that will reveal themselves after you receive that child as your own. So you need to be open-minded and willing to take a risk, I would say, in any kind of adoption, even in any kind of parenting. Parenting is risky business.
It certainly is. I mean, when you go to have a child, you have absolutely no idea what the condition that child is going to come out in. You have none. And the conditions that some of us are forced to face in this planet. No, I 100% understand that. How do you screen? Who was it? We had Big Brothers Big Sisters were on recently, and which I think is a fantastic organization. And similarly, there's a big burden of responsibility on them to screen applicants who get involved with the people that they're trying to serve, which are at-risk children. How do you screen? Because I would think it's just as important, more obviously to some degree, because someone's living with them. How do you screen the folks who could get the kids?
That's a terrific question and one that I struggle with a lot. I mean, obviously, we have very rigorous standards and compliance requirements that we have to follow. There are international regulations. There are local state regulations that we have to follow. Criminal background check, child abuse checks back to the age of 18, medical clearance, sociodynamic interviews, financials. You know, we have to do a pretty thorough investigation. And, you know, while that makes complete sense, we also know that there are ways around that and that none of this precludes someone from being a real jerk, you know, and it's possible to be, to get through this process and not be, you know, what you appear to be. On the other hand, I have to say that adoptive parents as a group are spectacular human beings. I have never been disappointed so far by one of these people. And to get to the point of being willing to put yourself through this process, which is rigorous and painful and challenging mm-hmm. and costly and time consuming, you're obviously already in a very specific class of exemplary human beings.
You're already putting yourself out there on display pretty much is what you're saying. There's no question about that. And I don't think any screening process, no matter what position you're trying to screen a person to fill the job, whether at the very highest level of government to police officers, military personnel. There are so many people. You can do the best screening and vetting and still end up with someone in charge of something that leaves people their jaw agape. So I have no doubt that it can be very tough. And I'm sure you said it right, that a lot of the people who are interested in this already have a good heart. That's why they're going through, because it's not an easy process to get involved in. And no one can be faulted. I mean, you can screen the best you can, but you never know what's hiding out there. Are the children, you mentioned something, which, and maybe when I saw the letter about Spencer, are the kids in your organization that you guys serve, are they of average health, or are they often in a category where they have health challenges and disabilities?
That's a great question, because by definition, any child who is separated from his birth parent is going to be traumatized. So we've recently started talking about PTSD as an actual thing for any child who is placed for adoption, even in the best of circumstances, at birth from the hospital into the arms of the waiting family. That's already traumatic. So, you know, whether that has long-term lasting effects that manifest themselves physically or not is a question. Whether or not a birth mother who experiences trauma during her pregnancy, you know, affects the health of her uterus with the brain chemistry and what's going on in her physical body, that's another question. But I know your real question was, what sort of standard medical things do we see in the kids? And what I can tell you is that most kids who are in foster care are resilient and are strong, and that's why they're still alive. But yes, there are children with physical challenges, not so much in the local foster care program, but definitely from our China program.
And they're people. And it's just a huge blessing that neither one of us got born with those challenges, and somebody's got to care for them. So it's extraordinarily humbling. And I know in some of those cultures in the Asia Pacific, disability is somewhat shunned on. So it's something they don't really want to necessarily have around. And in the United States, while we're not perfect, we have had some level of whether it's ADA or other sorts of aggressive advocates for the disabled who have nailed down a few more sturdy sorts of rules and regulations to defend the rights of the disabled. America can tend to be a much better option for someone with a disability than many, many, many places on this earth. And I think that does say a lot about a person that they're willing to adopt a child with disabilities. Birth mother care. I'm going to name a few things that fall under the services tab. And any of these things that you think you want to mention or highlight, you know best. Birth mother care, home studies, post-placement services, counseling services like child and family counseling, readoption, search and reunions, Anything about these that you want to highlight?
Birth mother care, super close to my heart because I see that done so poorly in some instances and so well in others. So situation with birth mother care is that a woman pregnant in Hawaii who's not sure whether she can parent her child is looking for support resources or just someone to talk it over with may go on the internet and find an agency that looks like they're located in Hawaii, which may not be. It may be a for-profit organization located on the mainland, which will then provide a service to her. I say service in quotes, which is basically to place her child with a family who may live in yet a third state.
Is that an adoption agency?
Sometimes they're facilitators, sometimes they're attorneys, but it can be a highly unregulated industry in some bizarre instances mm-hmm. such as these. And so we see birth mothers who get stuck and who don't get the services they need or desire to make this most difficult decision in their life, which is why I think coming to an agency such as ours, or there are other organizations in Hawaii which have this nonprofit social service component whereby they do not pressure the women to make the decision to place a child. They offer free services to them, unlimited, so that they can make that decision carefully and lovingly.
Yeah, so the short of it is what you're saying is birth mother care is if there's a young lady out there or a woman who is pregnant, carrying a baby, and has concerns and is not sure whether they can keep that child and has a wide range of questions and concerns, you guys want to hear from them.
Or please call someone local. Don't get involved with a mainland organization that you only know through the internet.
Okay. And you guys can steer them to other local agencies that
yes.
may help based on their particular needs.
Yes.
The search and reunion part.
Yeah. I thought that might interest you. So that's kind of something that I do part-time, pro bono in my spare time. It's a huge passion area for me because I believe that a lot of people were placed for adoption either in an era when closed adoption was the norm or who were placed in situations where people just weren't talking about openness or were maybe afraid of it. And I know from having worked with adoptees that whether or not you love the parents who raise you, which is usually the case, it's really normal to grow up wondering about your roots. And there's nothing wrong with that. I wondered about my roots in Italy when I was growing up in my, you know, biological family. So I think it's normal to wonder who you are and where you come from. And
you grew up in Italy?
No, I grew up in Detroit, but my family is Italian.
Okay.
And I had curiosity about who my roots, you know, who my family was. So I went and met them and I, you know, formed a connection
wow.
with my Italian part of my family. And that's, you know, I wasn't adopted. So I imagine for someone who's adopted, you know, you feel that 100 times more powerfully, a curiosity potentially, if you're allowed the freedom or if you feel the freedom to feel those feelings. So for me, it's just something I do occasionally when people call me up, and I've had some really wonderful cases, people calling saying they wanted to find a birth parent or find a child. And I do some digging around and I've been able to make some really wonderful connections for people. And reunite people who wanted to be reunited.
Counseling services that people who might have some concerns or might have some issues in their life, just drop a couple things, like the things that you might be able to provide some counseling for them on.
Yeah, we offer counseling. We've got counselors and I do counseling. Come on in and we talk about parenting. Parenting can be challenging. It can wreak havoc on your marriage. We can do marriage counseling. We can give tips for how to raise a child who's got challenges. Just standard family counseling with a clear adoption perspective when needed.
Costs for any of this stuff?
So the search and reunion is free, like I said. Counseling, if you can pay a copay, we charge it. If not, we do it for free. If you have insurance, we take it. If not, we do it for free. That's the way that goes.
Good for you, Christine. Well, you're doing some stuff for free for people who are vulnerable and need. So how can we help you? What do you need? You need cash for the organization. Always is number one. So we'll start there. Then we need, there's a potential for maybe supplies that you guys could use, people on your board, volunteers, tangible skills, you name it, whatever we can do to try to support this mission. The floor is yours.
Thank you so much. So just having this ability to talk to people about what we do is really important because, like you said, you'd never heard of us. And that's a crime because we've been around for forever. And, you know, there's a lot of really good work happening in Hawaii. So just to be able to put our name out there is great. Like I said, if a birth mother is considering placement, she should please call us or somebody local. If a family thinks they've got a place in their house and their heart to help an older child here in Hawaii who may have some challenges, who might need some extra academic or emotional counseling type support, please give a call, because these kids really, really, really need families. And it's such a win-win. You know, if you raise a kid and see that kid through and launch a kid who has needed you more than anything, there's nothing better in the world than that feeling.
Do you need volunteers at the office? Do you need people on your board?
Yeah, can always use people at the office volunteering. We can always use tech support. You know, I mean, we're a small nonprofit, so our computers are very old. You know, whatever people have to offer, usually if they call up, we can make good use of it.
So what you're saying is, if somebody out there would want to buy you guys new computers, would want to inquire about what office supplies could be added to your equipment there to make it so that you can do your job more effectively, you'd like to hear from them.
Of course, that would be terrific.
So before I give your contact information, or maybe I'll give your contact information first, and then I'll hear this good story to sort of wrap it up. It's HawaiiInternationalChild.org. It's how to reach them online. You can also use AdoptionChild.org. They have both of those. Adopt at HawaiiInternationalChild.org. If you want to send an email, 808-589-2367. They have a 24-hour birth parent hotline, which I'm going to assume is just what it sounds like. So if you are carrying a child and have any kind of concerns, 24 hours a day you can call this. Is that right?
Yes.
808-636-1398. What if you just gave birth and you have questions?
Same thing.
All right. So that's a good one for people to know. I'll keep all the Helping Hand segments, the full feature of the radio interview, the contact information, and all of our other Helping Hand interviews and their contact information, all stored at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. Just look for Helping Hand on the pull-down news menu. So, four-year-old child Spencer, you guys helped out. And Spencer, since he was 2 years old, lived in foster care. Was he born here?
Yes, he was.
And this child has a good news story that changes a couple of years of being in foster care. What's happening with Spencer?
So, terrific news on Spencer. Was made possible by a grant that we got from Kim Coco Iwamoto and the Iwamoto Foundation to make a video, because my belief is that if people can see children, they are much more likely to want to help them. Mm. And when you read a child's profile or see their photo, it doesn't move you the same way seeing that child moves you. However, we can't traipse these kids around in front of people. You know, they're not on display. So I thought to make videos of each child would be a much more compelling way to get them matched with families. So with this grant from the Iwamoto Foundation, we were able to make a video, showed the video one time to a family, and he was matched and is now in their home, and the adoption is finalizing right now. And it's a perfect match for him. He's got two dads who, one looks a lot like him, and one's a social worker, and this is their first child, and I'm just all goosebumpy thinking about it, because all three of them are doing so well together.
Wow. And he's a happy kid now, huh?
He's a super happy kid.
Fantastic. Don't get a lot of endings like that on one of these things, huh? On the show here I'm talking about. I hope that you have a lot of endings like that with what you're doing, but it's always such a lot of dire circumstances we're often talking about on Helping Hand. It's nice. I was thinking about him for all the weeks until we got the chance to talk to you. So my very best to Spencer, if you ever get a chance to, if it means anything. I was thinking about him, and I'm really grateful that
Thanks.
Things worked out for him. Executive Director, CEO of Hawaii International Child, Christine Altweith,
right,
is our very special guest here. And thanks for doing what you're doing and helping people out in tough situations. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate this platform to speak about what we do. Thank you.